Would-be attorneys who'd like to practice law in Illinois take the bar examination this week. They'll answer essay and multiple choice questions in an attempt to show bar examiners that they know the law well enough to be allowed to practice in Illinois courts. It's relatively easy. Graduate from law school, pass the requisite bar exam, pass the character and fitness inquiry, pass a professional responsibility exam, and you'll be admitted to the practice of law in the state of your choice. But it didn't used to be that easy for about half of the population, namely the women who would be lawyers. Consider this language. The natural and proper timidity and delicacy which belongs to the female sex evidently unfits it for many of the occupations of civil life and the constitution of the family organization, which is founded in the divine ordinance as well as in the nature of things, indicates the domestic sphere as that which properly belongs to the domain and function of womanhood. And this, the law of the Creator mandates that the paramount destiny and mission of women are to fulfill the noble and benign offices of wife and mother. That's not language from an old religious text. That's a quote from a United States Supreme Court opinion, the writing of a justice joined by two other justices concurring that women should properly be excluded from the practice of law. The year was 1872, and Myra Bradwell had applied to the justices of the Illinois Supreme Court asking to be admitted to the Illinois bar. She had all the right qualifications and good character, but the highest court in Illinois refused to certify her. Married women, it explained, could not be lawyers because once they married, they merged into their husbands and no longer stood as a separate person with a separate identity. Therefore, they could not be a party to a contract and could not effectively represent clients. God, the justices wrote, designed the sexes to occupy different spheres, and men made, applied, and executed the laws. Mrs. Bradwell took her case to the United States Supreme Court, and the justices there upheld the Illinois Supreme Court ruling. A Wisconsin case the next year went the same way. That court wrote that the profession of law was inconsistent with the sacred duties of the female gender and that women were too gentle, susceptible, impulsive, and pure to become lawyers. Now, sure, things aren't completely wonderful today for women in the practice of law. The American Bar Association Legal Practice Management Section reports that only around 17% of partners at law firms are women, as one example. But we've come a long way from the days when justices on the Illinois Supreme Court looked to England for guidance and wrote that a proposition that a woman should enter the courts would have created hardly less astonishment than one that she should be elected to a seat in the House of Commons. I'd love to be the one to introduce those jurists to Ruth Bader Ginsburg and Nancy Pelosi. I'd also like to introduce them to the hundreds of women who sit this week for the Illinois bar examination and who in October will be sworn into the practice of law in the state of Illinois. I'm Amy Guida.